Okay, hi. I'll recognize I have multiple co-authors, but from the South African National PMTCT evaluation, which is we're moving now to Africa instead of the U.S. But I think that the work that we're talking about is relevant because we're talking about dropouts along a cascade of care, which are relevant from starting from testing, which are relevant really to any environment. Just a bit of background about South Africa and their PMTCT program. From 2008 to 2010, we worked with HIV-infected pregnant women with a CD4 greater than 200, got AZT from 28 weeks and single-dose nevirapine in labor, different from the U.S., but where everyone gets triple therapy. CD4 less than 200 or WHO clinical stage 4 were put on triple therapy for life. The infants got single-dose nevirapine within 72 hours. And AZT for 7 to 28 days. In 2010, you may know that the WHO promoted new recommendations, and South Africa took those up pretty much immediately. And so we're seeing CD4 greater than 350 is AZT from 14 weeks and single-dose nevirapine and TDF-FTC in labor, and less than 350 they go on Heart for Life. HIV-exposed infants, if the mother is on ART or is on Heart or non-breastfeeding, then she gets 6 weeks of nevirapine. But if the infant's being breastfed, which is common and is promoted in South Africa, the child will stay on a nevirapine prophylaxis for throughout the breastfeeding period. So our study is we're now going into our third year, is to periodically conduct facility-based surveys to monitor the effectiveness of the South African PMTCT program until 18 months postpartum. Our primary objectives were to estimate MTCT at 6 weeks postpartum and then to do a follow-up survey, which we'll be doing in 2012 to 18 months to look at 18-month HIV-free survival. But this particular presentation, I'm presenting one of our secondary objectives, which is to estimate the coverage of key PMTCT services. Just to know about the design, this is a national facility-based survey with multi-stage sampling of national and provincial estimates. So provinces are like states. We had 580 facilities in all 9 provinces. Our goal was 12,200 infant dry blood spots of eligible caregiver infants. So basically, we were wanting to test all children, not just children who we knew their mothers were positive, to try and look for those missed opportunities so that we'll be able to talk about those in this presentation. We collected our data using cell phone technology so that everything was collected on a cell phone, real-time data collection. The duration of the data collection, our 2010 survey was from June to December 2010, and our 2011 survey was from August 2011 to March 2012. This was the first national survey done of its type, and the only other country to do a survey of this type is Rwanda. They recently finished theirs and are now looking at their data. But it's being promoted in Zimbabwe and several other countries to start to do these kinds of national surveys. How we did this, like I said, we tested all children who were coming into for their 6-week immunization, and if you know that basically, a child who is still 6 weeks old, pretty much 100% of them still have maternal antibodies to HIV. And so what we did is we used a biomedical marker for exposure, is if the infant in their dried blood spot was ELISA positive, then we assumed that their mother was positive, whether their mother knew they were positive or not. Okay, so that we were able to look for those missed opportunities. If you just measure who's in the PMTCT program, you're missing all those people who didn't know they were positive. And then from there, so that was our HIV-exposed infants. And then what we did is if it showed it be exposed, then we would do a HIV DNA PCR test to look for actual virus for the infant. Our preliminary findings are adjusted for non-response, weighted for the population live births, and we used SAS. Just to know, we have, like I said, we have 9 provinces, and if you look at our 2010 and our 2011 response rates, we basically made 83% in both years. We did a lot better in a couple provinces than we did the earlier years, and that was very encouraging. We learned a lot about, just field challenges of getting this work done. But 83%, our statistician was happy with that, with regard to meeting our needs. Just to look at the weighted HIV exposure, prevalence, and transmission, just and be more presented on this on Wednesday afternoon, also in an HIV AIDS session on Wednesday afternoon. My colleague will present this data. But 31% of were mothers were HIV positive. And that's very close to our antenatal survey, which is 29%. Obviously, we're measuring moms who either were in a window period, converted, or didn't really recognize they were positive. And so ours is slightly higher than the 29%, which would be expected. And in 2011, it was 32%, so essentially similar to what we're seeing. The national perinatal transmission rate is was 3.5% in 2010. This was much lower than we expected. In 2008, all the data, not national data, but regional and other kinds of data, were suggesting 7% transmission. And when we got 3.5%, needless to say, our Minister of Health was absolutely thrilled because they had been having a huge push to expand PMTCT in the country. So we were very excited, and we were even further excited in 2011 to see it drop to 2.7%. For those of you who are not familiar with international targets, the international target for elimination of MTCT internationally in low and middle income countries is less than 2% at 6 weeks. So we're on a trajectory to get to that by 2015. And that the big difference between 2010 and 2011 was the shift. Most of those 2010 recommendations were only implemented towards the end of 2010 into 2011. So we are seeing a shift with the new guidelines, which is very exciting. So what does that mean in terms of actual service? Here's the cascade for 2010. You can see that antenatal HIV testing and receiving your test results is very high. I'll have to put my glasses on here to read this for you. Essentially 99%. So we have really good coverage of our testing. Moms are getting tested in antenatal. 29% of the moms reported being positive, and so that matches the antenatal exactly. We then saw that there was another few percentage points of people who were basically missed opportunities. Where we're falling down is that only 78% of these moms, if you look in the next box, is moms who reported being positive, so they knew they were positive antenatal, only 78% got CD4 testing. And as you saw, the appropriate treatment was based on CD4 test. So without it, you're losing some care. There are missed opportunities. The next one is mothers and infants who receive ARV prophylaxis and or the mothers on heart. The red is the heart. So 33% of moms went on to triple therapy and 58.7% got prophylaxis in the mother and the baby, so effective therapy. Unfortunately, only 35% of the kids the moms intended to have their infant tested for at 6 weeks, and so that was a missed opportunity because a percentage of those kids are still going to be positive and need to get into pediatric care. Looking at the 2011 similar data, 90s, a little bit less on the testing, which was a concern, but still in the high 90s. Same mothers reporting. One thing that we didn't measure in 2010, which we did measure in 2011, because we did see about a 4% potential acquisition, was moms are supposed to be, if they're negative, they're supposed to be repeat tested after 32 weeks to look for acquisition during pregnancy so you can get them on therapy. And only half of those moms are getting tested, so that's a big missed opportunity. And those moms are, of course, they get absolutely no treatment, and they are, of course, the highest risk for transmission. CD4 count was up, but the CD4 received was essentially the same, still 78%, so we're still there. What we did see a huge jump in, though, is that we went from 33% to 42.6% with the new guidelines, going up to 350 as opposed to 200, and this appears to be this one piece, according to some of our other multivariate analysis, which will be presented on Wednesday, it seems to be the driving factor for that reduction that we're seeing. The infant receiving prophylaxis is high, and both infant and mom is slightly, and essentially the same percentage of moms intending to bring their kids. So how do you compare the 2 years? You can see the antenatal, they're pretty similar in the first group and similar in the second group. The big difference is that the bump from 33% to 43% essentially on mothers on heart, and the change from essentially no infants on nevirapine more than 4 weeks to 85% of kids on nevirapine, because that was the big new thing, is that kids would be on nevirapine while breastfeeding. And in 2011, there was also a breastfeeding summit, and the country decided to stop free formula for moms with who were HIV positive and to place all children on nevirapine and promote exclusive breastfeeding. So these are big differences. So the strengths of the study, mothers with infection known, unknown, and your acquisition is measured. Mother infants with or without the PMTCT exposure to the program are measured. The limitations, it's facility-based. However, we do have greater than 95% coverage of our 6-week DPT. So most kids do come. And very few children refused. Infant mortality, you obviously lose the kids who die, and that in the first 28 days is 3.8%. We did exclude 6% refused testing. We did exclude mobile clinics, big hospitals, private facilities, and small clinics. They were just too logistically not possible. And obviously you have issues of recall, bias, and social desirability. So our conclusions: on track to reach the less than 2% perinatal HIV transmission. The uptake along the cascade was high, but there were still some, and there was an increase from heart coverage from 2010 to 2011, which is very encouraging. The initiation of what's called WHO Option A with nevirapine to infants during breastfeeding has been, it looks like it's being fairly successful, that we've reaching 85% of kids in the first year. And but a third of HIV-exposed infants wouldn't have presented for their early infant diagnosis, which is a concern. We have a very large team. It's a very large study, and I'd like to acknowledge all of them. And our funders are CDC, UNICEF, and the National Department of Health. Thank you.
I'd be happy to answer that. The initial data that I took was the local Brooklyn data from the national sample, but we actually have another set of what we call facilitators to care. So social network, people to take care of kids, that sort of stuff. You'll see that in later papers. You bet.
Any more? One over here.
I have a question about the SCOUT program. You were saying that you were measuring how much it costs to keep people in care. In my experience with the first grants is that, you know, it's not going to be renewed. You're going to write this up as a model. How much do you think that program is going to actually take, would cost for, you know, to serve, I don't know, 50 women, 100 women? How much is it going to, I mean, because, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to get maybe $100,000.
Honestly, right now, I don't know. We're just starting to look at the resources used. Also, our national evaluation team is collecting snapshots of cost data, and they're going to be doing a cross-site evaluation of costs based on a whole bunch of snapshots over a period of years, and you probably won't see in print for several years.
Right. And I know in the past, when first the funded care program, what comes out of the end might be this really great program that no one can afford to do. So I'm really
Yes. Any other questions? Okay, let's give all our presenters another round of applause.